as we consider the topic, Together in the Church, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 12. And on our way there, here's a little background for Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Now, we learn in the book of Acts, chapter 18, that Paul started the church in Corinth when he came as a tent maker and met Christ's followers Priscilla and Aquila. And they had come to Corinth from Rome. They were expelled from Rome and came there. And from the historic events, we can pinpoint the church in Corinth was started about AD 50 to 51. Now, Corinth was a major city, and it was burned to the ground in 146 before Christ, and it was rebuilt in the Roman Empire by the order of Julius Caesar in 44 BC. Now, because of its location on trade routes and on a strategic isthmus, it became the capital of Achaia in 27 BCE. Now, in that city, Greek philosophy was prized and wisdom was highly sought after. Corinth had a plurality of religious practices, and it had a reputation for immorality. Temple worship was there for Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and accompanied with temple prostitution. Well, this set up an issue because food offered to idols was being sold at discount in the meat markets, and some Christ followers were buying the discount food and serving it to their guests. There were disagreements about whether to eat food served to idols. There were disagreements about who to follow, Paul, Peter, Apollos. There were disagreements about marriage and staying single, disagreements about the Lord's Supper, and disagreements about gathering together, disagreements about spiritual gifts. And in the last few chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul spends time on spiritual gifts in chapter 12, chapter 14, with the chapter we're familiar with on love in chapter 13. And then he closes out 1 Corinthians with chapter 15 about the hope of the resurrection for all of us. Along the way, Paul writes instructions for the church at Corinth and how to handle these disagreements and divisions with grace, power, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. The letter was written in about AD 55 in response to some reports Paul was receiving from the Christ followers in Corinth, who sent him messages via messengers from the household of Chloe. So we're going to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll read some scriptures there. We'll start reading with verses 4 to 7, and then read more later. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's the NRSV. And so when we think about the words, the common good, we could come up with several pictures. We all have various talents, gifts, abilities from the Lord. The Holy Spirit has distributed these gifts, and we can all use our gifts to edify and encourage one another. Together in the church could mean gathering together as a church, lifting our voices and playing our instruments in worship songs to the Lord, time at the communion table, remembering the body of Jesus broken for us and the blood of Christ shed for us. Together in the church could mean being on mission together in our community and sharing meals together with our local fellowship of believers. We remember some places where the church is together. After the ascension, Jesus sent the followers to wait in Jerusalem for the power that was coming from on high. Acts 2, they were devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to the breaking of bread, the ministry of the word and prayers. When the churches were established, they met together. They ate together. They shared what they had with one another, and they served one another with the gifts they had been given. Well, this Holy Spirit that gives the gifts is the same Holy Spirit present with the Father and the Son in the beginning. This Holy Spirit has indwelled believers throughout the ages and still indwells Christ's followers today and gives gifts to each one. We all have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. All right, now let's look at some verses starting in verses 12 to 14. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Try to think about all the people who have lived in faith, believing the promises of God as part of the body of Christ. Many generations, many nations, many tribes, languages, all of the members of the body of Christ with each part doing its part. God builds the Big C Church and positions those with gifts and graces in it for the furtherance of the gospel. God delivered the good news to the apostles, the prophets, the saints of old. They continue to faithfully communicate the gospel of God's love and forgiveness to generations past and our generations. Wonderful. Now, in the local church, we are a small image of the larger church, the great assembly of believers, of Christ followers throughout the ages and ages, of persons who've had faith before Jesus arrived, the ones who followed Christ when he walked the earth, the ones who testified to what they had seen and heard, the ones who shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with us, the good news that Jesus is calling us to follow him, to love one another, to care for one another, serve one another, honor one another, forgive one another, bless one another, and as much as depends on us, live at peace with one another, together, together in the church. Well, then we get to this section of scripture where Paul is making a case for how much we need one another in the body of Christ. And he paints a humorous argument to awaken the Corinthians to show them how they have been acting. Can the body parts just choose to cut one another off? Let's look at how Paul writes this and skip down to verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. So let's pause there. We notice that some members are being treated honorably and some with less respect. And God arranged the body in such a way to give greater honor to the least respected parts. the body suffers with its suffering members and rejoices when one of its members is honored. So let's take some time here to consider the members of the body talking to one another and giving reasons that they do not need one another. And Paul uses humor here to show how ridiculous this is to have body parts complaining about other body parts. Now, in my study for this sermon, I came across Aesop's fable about the belly and the members. Now, I don't know if you know Aesop's fables. Maybe you know the one about the tortoise and the hare, or you know one of the other famous fables. But Aesop lived in the 6th century before Christ, and he was an enslaved Greek that told morality tales. And the culture that Paul was writing to was familiar with morality tales, and it's possible that Paul knew them or would have heard of them in his lessons in education. So this belly and its members, or members and the belly, has several versions, and I'll just read one of them, but if you look it up, there's lots of different versions through the years. This is the Elliot Jacobs version. One day, it occurred to the members of the body that they were doing all the work, while the belly had all the food. So they held a meeting and decided to strike until the belly consented to its proper share of the work. For a day or two, the hands refused to take the food, the mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. After a day or two, the members began to find that they themselves were in poor condition. The hands could hardly move, the mouth was parched and dry, while the legs were unable to support the rest. Thus, even the belly was doing necessary work for the body, and all must work together, or the body will go to pieces. The fable teaches that all the parts are important. The hands, the mouth, and teeth decided not to feed the belly. They suffered. The unseen belly was very important, not lazy, as the hands, the mouth, and the teeth believed at first. We do not need to be trying to live without the need of the other members of the body of Christ, or thinking that the other members are not as important as we are. Now, we're familiar with some physical diseases that destroy physical bodies. Take gangrene, for instance. Gangrene starts when blood flow is interrupted to the at-risk areas of the feet, the toes. Strong antibiotics can kill the bacteria, and surgery cuts away the dead tissue. Sometimes amputation is the only choice to save the rest of the body from becoming affected. In gangrene, the toes get disconnected from the rest of the body. Well, how do people get disconnected? People get disconnected through broken relationships, broken trust, and broken expectations. In Bible times, we read about disagreements between the apostles. Paul and Barnabas separated over John Mark, and Paul confronted Peter about what he saw Peter doing. In church history, people were excommunicated from churches. This was so serious because if someone was disfellowshipped, they were barred from being together with their local church and could not participate in the communion at the table of the Lord. Church history is filled with disagreements and departures. Sometimes people were disfellowshipped or shunned, and sometimes they chose to walk away from the faith and their local church. Have you ever played a game called Jenga? Here are some Jenga blocks. They build a tower, and the Jenga game is designed to make a toppling tower. One by one, the blocks that are loose are removed and placed on top of the pile. The tower gets higher and higher until the structure comes crashing down. The blocks below carry too much weight of the tower, and it all comes crashing down. Well, I think that here in our communities, we experience some crashing down like Jenga towers with the pandemic that hit Atlanta in early 2020 with lockdowns and policies for gathering and not gathering together. And we may have experienced this with our friends. The way local churches handled the COVID-19 seasons varied. Some chose to meet on Zoom. Some decided to meet in person, with masks, without masks, with vaccinations, against vaccinations, and the divisions continued to drive people away from local churches when masks and vaccines and social distancing became practices they agreed with or disagreed with. Offenses happened. Personal preferences took the place of participating with those who did not share the same viewpoints, and local churches dispersed and fractured into factions. This pandemic weakened the practices of the local churches, and the Jenga towers came toppling down. Now, in our pastoral care team prayer times, we have been praying for the people who became disconnected and disillusioned in the pandemic. We've asked the Lord to send us the people who need to connect with other believers. And if not here, send them to other local churches who will love them and help them reconnect with other Christ followers. Maybe you're friends with some folks who became disconnected in the pandemic. Think about the ones who used to be in a church somewhere, used to serve in children's ministry, used to sing in the choir or on worship teams, used to preach, prophesy, pray in the church, and then this lockdown hit. And there have been various strains of coronavirus sweeping through the globe since then. Stop and think for a minute. Who do we know that was once on fire for the Lord, once served, once became disconnected, disillusioned, and dry? Who needs friendly encouragement for a reconnection? There need to be places of middle ground connection. It may be a bridge too far for some people to reconnect by leaving home and coming to a church. Maybe invite them for coffee. Listen to their story. Invite them for a meal. Listen to them. Invite them to something easier to ask them to attend than a church service. A movie night. A road cleanup. An intermediary point of building a relationship. Now, the normal way people connect is by other people getting connected through relationships, and other ways are when God does something supernaturally through dreams, visions, circumstances. We all need to do our part and contribute what we've been given, what we've been entrusted with, and how we've been wired to benefit the whole, to do church together. Now, suppose we only surround ourselves with persons who are like us in the ways they think, the sports teams they like, the ways they process information, the ways they practice citizenship. What happens? We will become isolated from people God loves and cares about in our neighborhoods and across the globe. Maybe we need to have a conversation with someone who thinks differently. Look for some opportunity to agree. We can stretch ourselves to believe there are Jesus followers worldwide. They live under differing political regimes. They serve in different military combat for this country's or that country's sake. Persons who could be followers of Christ in their hearts and lives, and how they live Jesus looks different than how we live and love Jesus. We may not all get along in our personal preferences, opinions, and practices. We're still called to love one another. Even as Pastor John preached from John 17 last week, Jesus prayed for us in his high priestly prayer. Jesus prayed for the ones who would know him because of the testimony of these disciples. And Jesus prayed for us, the church, amid the watching world, that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one, that the world would know that the Father sent Jesus. Now, I know I've spent time talking about the Corinthians and the things that separated them, and spent time talking about the things that have challenged churches in the last 2 years in Atlanta. When I was praying this week, I heard the encouragement of the Lord inviting me to talk about what we've done well. Not just the divisions, but what have we done well? Well, our pastoral care team's grateful to have seen our church do well with relationships through this pandemic, At this local church, we had people disagreeing with what we were doing to try to follow the CDC guidelines and recommendations, and the challenges of the pandemic could have destroyed us like some other local churches, but we loved one another through it and made space for one another to think differently and offer suggestions. We prayed together and stood together, and we came through this together. And not all churches were able to survive and flourish. So what are some of the things we do well? We pray for one another well. We do small things with great love well. We do relationships well, and we have opportunities for folks to connect with us that are non-threatening. They can listen to our sermons online and read our website. They can visit on Zoom and turn their cameras off. They can come to movie night and help us clean up the road or sponsor something we're supporting and raising funds for. Remember the time we raised funds for Luke's well? We gathered supplies to settle a refugee family. We gathered groceries to bless the seasonal workers from a local landscaping business. We gathered school supplies for our local middle school. We have places to connect at men's breakfast, contemplative photography, and other opportunities for connections in the future. People get connected through relationships. Some of us connect with playing trivia or other games together. In order for the local church to be a safe space for people to connect, to visit, to come regularly, to join, to grow, to flourish, to thrive, we need to have intentionality to create an atmosphere of welcome and create the space for their welcome. Make room in our hearts for new friends, new believers, new Christ followers. We need to be willing to adapt and change to the new things God's inviting, the new people God is sending, so that we can do church together well. In the unity we have this unity in the midst of diversity because of God's love poured out in our hearts. Paul talks about love being more important than any spiritual gifts, any recognition. Just a few verses from the next chapter, if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable, keeps no records of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, we all need one another, and we need to love one another. So back to 1 Corinthians 12, and let's just look at verses 15 through 20. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. People are starting to venture out again and dip their toes in the water of a local church. What will they find when they walk through the door? If we are the loving, kind, and hospitable people I've experienced, the newcomers will find welcome in our embrace. We have ways for newcomers to be connected, and we need to think of ideas of what we can do with the folks who've never heard of our church or the Vineyard. Think of them coming through the door. We might need to offer Vineyard 101 classes or pizza with the newcomers times. Think of ideas. This week in our LVC chat, the question was about sports and sports teams, and many of us said we liked baseball, especially when our teams were having a winning season. I've written a little story about the baseball and the bat that goes with our message today after sitting with this scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. The baseball cannot say to the bat, "I don't need you." The baseball cannot say to the bat, "I can just play ball without you." The bat cannot say to the baseball, "I don't need you. I'll just swing at the air and call it a game." The ball cannot start thinking it's better because it's round. And besides, the game is called baseball, not bat. The bat cannot start thinking that it can play alone. It's better than the ball. It does more work than the ball. It, the bat, is the most important part of the game. Neither can home plate say, "I don't need you," to the baseball or the bat. The home plate could say, "I'm responsible for the runs. If the players do not touch me, they do not get runs. If they do not stand over me to swing the bat and hit the ball, their swinging bats connecting with the balls do not count." And so on. You can write the voices for the various pieces of the game. Use your imagination and then write the story about how each part of baseball works together, not independently, but relying on one another for each part to do its part interdependently. Baseball's a team sport. Each member counts. Even if some look like they're just standing around in the outfield, waiting for the ball to come to them, outfielders are important, too. It's not just all about the pitcher, the catcher, the umpire, the shortstop, or the first base position. Each part needs to do its part. Well, if baseball needs each part, how much more do we in the church need each part to do its part? Living in our generation takes courage. What we need is discernment to know what our part is to do. Everything is not for us to do. We need to play our role when it is our turn to play. We need to care for one another, have compassion for one another, and have the courage to speak when it's our time to speak, and pray when it's our time to pray. Our call is to love folks into God's kingdom, to witness to what we've seen and heard about Jesus and experienced with Jesus. We are part of this church together. We serve on teams. We have lots of teams for things around here, from the announcements to the ministry times. We have teams together. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. When we meet one another and we meet new folks, we can look for the treasures God has invested in them. We can become treasure hunters. We have opportunities to love and encourage. Find the treasure in someone here today and go encourage them with what you see of God's work in them and through them. Every one of us needs encouragement. Find the quieter ones, the louder ones, the shy ones, the bolder ones, the ones who seem to be popular, the ones who seem to be overlooked. Find someone who needs encouragement and take someone with you to bless them.